Welcome to the Property Management Mastermind Show with your host, Brad Larson. Brad owns one of the fastest growing property management companies in San Antonio, Texas. This podcast is for property managers by property managers. You'll hear from industry leading professionals on best practices, new ideas, success stories, and lessons learned. This is your opportunity to learn about the latest industry buzz surrounding property management, as well as tips and strategies to improve your business. Now here's your host, Brad Larson.
Hello everyone, this is Brad Larson, host of the Property Management Mastermind Podcast. To see a complete list of the offers and discounts we have worked to provide, visit our website at propertymanagementmastermind.com. In there you will find additional discounts from Tenant Turner, Citizen Home Solutions, PMW Websites, and several others. Also be sure to check out our Seminar and Conferences tab, where we highlight different conferences going around the country, business and property management related. Lastly, be sure to seek out the Facebook group we have started and become a member. In that group, the PM community at large, to include vendors, are welcome to join.
This show is sponsored by the best home inspection software on the market for property managers. We endorse and use Z-Inspector as our software of choice for our team to document home inspections. We particularly like their 360 degrees camera system that produces amazing views of the interior room. Your clients will love Z-Inspector documented inspections you provide them. Visit www.zinspector.com to learn more.
Property Meld is made for maintenance work automation. Property Meld will work to schedule, remind, verify completion, and follow up with your residents automatically while providing the best-in-class communication system for your ease of use, your vendors, and your tenants. Begin reducing maintenance coordination time and increasing tenant satisfaction today. Learn more at propertymeld.com.
Hey everyone, in today's episode, I have Phil Mazur on, and we had an awesome conversation talking through virtual CFO work for the property management industry. You can visit Phil at thecfomission.com. Again, thecfomission.com. And as you are talking with him or listening to him, hear him talk, you can check out his website and understand kind of where he is from there. So check out that, listen to this episode, and we in RentWorks engage with Phil. And so he is our virtual CFO. And so we use him and endorse him. And I think you definitely want to pay attention to this episode. Thanks and take care. And welcome everybody to another edition of the Property Management Mastermind Show. I'm your host, Brad Larson. And today's guest, I have my man, Phil Mazur, with me. And he is from the virtual CFO company called the CFO Mission. And just telling you right off the bat, everybody, before we get into any intros with Phil, he is working with us here at RentWorks. He has parachuted in to kind of assist in our awful 2018 that we had, and he is actively working with us. So I wanted to bring him on the show to talk about what he does, how he got to that point, what he's doing with RentWorks. So we're going to have a real good back and forth, actual real live conversation between a management company business owner and the virtual CFO that he is. So without further ado, I'm going to let Phil introduce himself. Phil, how are you today?
Doing great here. I'm in sunny Birmingham, Alabama, staying warm in the national freeze that we got going on here.
Yeah, it is brutal outside. I know up in the upper Midwest are getting wind chills in the minus 50. So I'm glad we'll be great here in sunny San Antonio. I'll be golfing Friday and they'll be freezing up there. So sucks to be them. Let's talk a little bit about who you are, what you are, background and good stuff like that. So give us kind of the who, what, where, who you are.
Sure. So some background on me, I've got about 20 years work experience, not quite showing my age there, but I've got a finance degree and an MBA. I started my career working for a big Fortune 500 company, always working in accounting and finance type of role. But really my passion is more on the financial side and not the accountant side. You know, I understand the debits and credits, but they're not really fun for me. So most of my jobs were what I would call financial analyst jobs, working for a company though. So it's really working for a business. This isn't the stock and bond investor type of financial analyst. That's not what I did. So most of my career working for that big company was kind of being the right hand man, so to speak, for a leader of a part of that company, whether it was a manufacturing company, a place in the mill. I was the analyst for that line of business. And as I progressed throughout my career, I did a lot of the various accounting things, But really, you know, I enjoyed the quote unquote CFO type role. And really working with an operations company, you really have to understand the operation. So
that's a great point.
Part of my job was to
Let me interrupt you there. So tell us what a CFO really is, because from what I understand, it's not just an accountant, right? I mean, a CFO is totally something totally different. So tell us what a CFO is and why we would need one here as a property management company.
It's a great question. And I like to point this out a lot because when I talk to people, I get kind of thrown in this box of you're an accountant. And that's absolutely not what I am. I know a lot of accounting. Like I said, I know the debits and the credits. I understand what your accounting needs to be. But there are CPAs out there that focus on accounting, taxes, you know, true like bookkeeping type stuff at a higher level. That's not what a CFO does. They may or may not be in charge of that depending on the size of the organization. So there's a few main things that a CFO should do for your company. One is make sure you're getting out accurate financial statements. So yes, there's the accounting aspect of it, making sure it's getting done timely. There is internal controls. So you got to make sure you're safeguarding all your assets. You know, for property management company, we're mainly talking about cash, making sure nobody's stealing, making sure all your clients are getting the money that they're supposed to be getting. Cash management is part of that too. So internal controls isn't cash management. Cash management is your business funds, how you're paying your bills, how you're receiving your money, making sure on a daily, weekly, monthly basis that that's happening properly. There's an administration aspect to it. So usually for small companies, the CFO will be in charge of that. So really that's anything other than operations and sales. So we're talking HR, insurance, things like that. Generally, the CFO will take leadership role there. And then lastly, I think it's forecasting and budget, which I will call strategy, you know. And to do this, the reason why this role is so important and why it's just not a numbers job is that to do strategy and forecasting, you need to understand the operation. So the CFO should know the business better than anybody in the company.
Quick note there. So we were looking for a virtual CFO as far as a year ago. So we did a strategic planning session with Scott Fritz. This was December 2017. I've talked about it already on the show several times. And one of the things that came out of there is we potentially needed a virtual CFO to give us that strategic oversight and direction for the company on the numbers level. And so I actually did some research. I looked around for virtual CFOs, and there wasn't much out there for property management. Actually, there was nothing out there property management specific that I could find anywhere. And so it's very exciting to be able to find you several months ago. So I want you to dive into, tell us more about what you've been doing as a CFO and your background and experience in that.
Okay. So I left my job at the Fortune 500 company because I got to a point, what I would say, of diminishing returns of my personal value. I wasn't getting a lot out of it. Once you get so high, you meet the red tape and really, I can't do what I want to do. So I went to a smaller company, big compared to property management, but it was a $50 million company. We grew to about a $75 million company while I was there. And I was the CFO there. And I did all the things that I just described, you know, those kind of five main things. But there were still periods of time where I had to dive into the weeds. And that's good and bad. I mean, I don't mind doing that. But the point is, there was still need there to dive into the weeds. Even in a company that big, you know, there was still this part-time aspect of the CFO role that was realized. I found myself doing some bank reconciliations from time to time. And I'm like, I'm getting paid as a CFO. I mean, this doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So I moved on from there. I really wanted to have more of an entrepreneurial opportunity with my career. You know, there's a want to be the CEO type of initiative in my head too. And that's what ultimately led me to property management, actually.
Tell us more specifically about that Fortune 500 company you're working with and give us some idea what an actual CFO would run if you were to hire somebody in one of those companies. So people don't understand, okay, they get sort of now, we've talked about the, what a CFO does and kind of what there are, but they don't understand the compensation. And that's where it starts to hit them in the face like, oh, I don't have enough jack to hire you full time, but if I can pay you just a small amount to look at us at a weekly, monthly, quarterly basis, that's worth a lot of value for me. So talk about through that.
It depends on the size of the company, but somebody who has the skill set is going to demand a certain level of pay. You're talking about $150,000 base salary, significant bonus, maybe 50 to 75% of that tied to the company's performance as well. So you're talking well over 200K for somebody that's got an MBA, maybe a CPA. CPAs are overrated. I'm telling you, when it comes to the operation side of it, you don't need a CPA. I will battle in a CPA any day. They are technical accounts. You don't need technical. You need technical accounting even on a lesser degree than you need an operational account. But it's a huge, huge expense that's just not realistic for anybody, even under $10 million in revenue.
And that's kind of where the rubber meets the road. That's what I want people to understand, is to get an actual CFO person who can give you some strategic guidance. It's just not feasible for companies like ourselves. Even with RentWorks running a couple million, $3 million in revenue a year, it's one of those pain points where you look at it, it's like, oh, I just don't have the jack to pay $150K to a guy like you. I would love to, but we're not there yet. But bringing you in on a part-time basis has really worked well for us. So when you were at that company that we last mentioned, I think you should dive into the fact that they were a property management company and talk more about that.
They were a property management company with a growth plan, right? A huge growth plan. So where they were willing to commit to me was because they realized that they needed that strategic person to meet their vision. And it was a long-term vision, but there were definitely some things that needed to be put in place right away. And I think a lot of companies recognize that. But again, they're not willing to go spend that money. Well, this company was, but even there, I wasn't a full-time CFO. There were a lot of things needed right away. You know, they recognized a huge cleanup is needed. We need to clean up our current systems. We need to get some scorecards worth of data, and we need help making strategic decisions with financial analysis behind it. They recognized all those things. So early on, I was there for 3.5 years. Early on, very strategic, very much CFO level work. After about a year, there were ups and downs in the business, just normal ebbs and flows. You know, we did some acquisitions. There were times where the CFO workload got up there significantly. But then there were times when it died down and I just had to be a team member and do whatever role was needed. So I jumped into all the property management stuff. I dealt with tenants. I dealt with owners. I did the day-to-day accounting in property management. I answered the door. I mean, usually I had my headphones in acting like I didn't hear the doorbell because I didn't want to answer the door. But I did all that stuff. So really maybe understand property management as well, but also come to the realization at the end of the day, I can't be doing this full time for this company. It's actually a drag.
Now, and I visited that office. I know the players you're talking about, and they're all great players, class A people all around. But I understand that. I think that what you experienced there was kind of like, I think there's something bigger and better out there for you to do. You want to kind of see what's going on with the open market and the talents that you can bring to the table. And I think that's what really solid, good entrepreneurs end up doing, is they go out on their own. And so it's just natural progression of what you do. So now I want you to dive into how a virtual CFO can work out perfect for a company like our size, like all of the clients you're looking to seek out. Those clients with, you know, 1, 2, 5 million in revenue potentially, a virtual CFO makes a lot of sense. I really want you to dive in deep about how kind of that works. I mean, first talk about why it makes sense and then go into kind of how the role would work as far as what you do to make it make sense.
Well, it makes sense from a financial standpoint in terms of the part-time aspect of it. And how I like to frame this is I'm a team member. You know, what is your next hire going to be? You could look at it that way. You could also look at it as, what is the next system or investment I'm going to make in my business? You could look at it that way too. But, you know, you could essentially get me for the same cost of a full-time virtual assistant. You have to ask yourself, where are you going to get the most value? Right. And, you know, just right off the bat, what you get from me is the ability to assess every financial decision you ever make going forward. Come hire me, then we'll talk about the virtual assistant, because I'll walk you through everything that entails. been there, done that. And that applies to, like I said, every decision you're going to make going forward. So the first thing you do is you've got to commit. You know, the people that I work with right now are committed. They're committed to growing the organization. They understand the value in what I do. And, you know, today we're trying to explain some of that value. Some people recognize it more than others. So the quicker you get to that point, the quicker we're going to be able to grow your business. Once you do that, kind of paint a picture for what it looks like working with me. We have to do an initial assessment. So there's a quick and dirty initial assessment, and then there's more of a deep dive. So the quick and dirty is you give me access to your property management software and your QuickBooks or whatever system you're using for your internal accounting. And I look at a few things rather quickly, and I can actually see a lot just by taking a peek under the hood. And if I see a mess, that is a microcosm of your organization. I can tell if you're organized. I can tell if you're buttoned up, or if I can tell if you're disorganized and just messy. And I go back and forth with people about this, but the truth is I've done it. I've seen it over and over again. So once we do that, I give you a grade. I say, look, you're a C or you're a B or you're an A, and where you are determines how quickly we move to the next step. And the next step is me working with the business owner to really establish what you want. You know, what do you want to accomplish? And from your business growth, your personal, how you want to pay how much you want money you want to make, how much longer you want to work, how hard do you want to work? Those kind of things. And then we work backwards. You know, what do we need to do now? We dive deep. We dive into your people. We dive into you. We dive into what your people are getting paid. We dive into your processes and your systems. We put it all out there. We say, okay, where do we start?
So let's talk through some of the stuff that you've come in and done for RentWorks. Like we mentioned before, we had a pretty rough 2018 and even a rough few years before that. So essentially when you and I started talking last year, it would have been September, October, and we engaged with you right away. We were in a really bad place. We had some issues going on with the books. We had no real good accounting procedures in place. We were short on staffing in the accounting realm. I mean, we were pretty jacked up. I mean, let's be honest. And I'll tell people that because we needed some assistance. So what you've been able to do with us, and I'll talk through it and you can add to it as we go, is you came in, you did an initial assessment, and you did a triage. Essentially, you stopped the bleeding in several different places, started to put in some policies, procedures, and helped us put in some new people into place. You know, part of the frustration you had with us is we put in one person, and then that person didn't work out, so we had to shift gears and put in another person and redesign that role to accounting. And so I'm scratching the surface. I don't even know where to go with this because I want you to kind of talk us through as a case study to say, okay, yeah, we came in and we started doing this, and this. So this is where you kind of jump in. Go ahead.
So I mentioned that I can come in and kind of assess you pretty quickly, but as we start working together, full disclosure, I can't tell you what I'm going to find. So triage was a good way to put it, you know, but Brad was committed to getting it fixed right away. So put the Band-Aid on it, wrapped it up real tight, stop that bleeding. So we had to work on stopping that bleeding. And I would say initially there was still some blood leaking out because we found some things. We found a few more skeletons in the closet, so to speak, that we had to address. But like I said, Brad was committed to doing it. All that means is he said, Phil, I need your help to dig deeper because I don't have the staff. So that's up to the individual client as to how fast they want to work. I'll tell you, you know, it's all about the commitment. You know, we can work fast or slow. That's up to you. But so some of the things we did, I mean, you know, cleaning up the property management software is number one, okay? Because you're managing other people's money. You've got to make sure that you have confidence in your numbers. And you got to make sure that the internal controls that I talked about are there. So we did that.
So let's talk about that too, because just to put in something there is you're an AppFolio, I would call expert. I mean, I hate that term, but you know, you have experience working with AppFolio for the last 4 or 5 years. And so we are on AppFolio and that truly helped. You have a very good understanding of all the softwares, but you have the most experience in AppFolio. Is that fair?
Definitely fair. It's I can definitely use other stuff, worked extensively in propertyware, seen and used the other ones. But AppFolio, I know all the tricks of the trade. Unfortunately, you need to know some tricks. And one thing that I can find in companies is things that they don't realize they need to look at. There's a few reports that aren't bank reconciliation reports that you should be looking at. And there's a lot, unfortunately, there's a lot of opportunities for mistakes because of the lack of controls within the system. So I can't put the controls in the system, but I can put in the checks to make sure we're looking at things so that we don't get out of whack again.
Tenants not changing their air filters? Costly HVAC repairs and unhappy owners got you down? Filter Easy is a subscription air filter delivery service that solves this problem by shipping filters directly to the tenant's front door when it's time to change. Tenants actually change them, which reduces HVAC-related maintenance calls by an average of 30%. Filter Easy's no-cost-you solution functions as a profit center to give you back time and money. Call 1-800-308-1186 today to learn more.
Yeah, so keep talking about kind of what you did with us when you came in. You started triages. It was messy, but one of the first things, if I recall, is you helped us get our software cleaned up. That entailed some reconciliations for several years, and you and your team got that done very quickly. I mean, it wasn't a matter of months; it was a matter of weeks or less. So you got that done, and then we started. This is the good stuff. Then we started to devise a plan, and this is where your spreadsheets came in, as far as, okay, we're going to be doing this by this date, and this person's responsible, and here are some of the notes. And you and I have gone over that several times, but I thought that was fantastic because that was our plan to unscrew us, and it was in writing now, and we just had to kind of follow that plan. Then you started to build in some of the procedures for us to work with other folks, like virtual assistants, such as you're a big fan of Planet Synergy with Anu Pai. So am I. I've been using her for 5-6 years. Most people that are in the property management world have heard of Planet Synergy, and you work extensively with them. And so you started to also come in and say, all right, we're going to devise a plan for your, let's take the easy one. It's the checks that are dropped off up front, right? The rent checks. Talk more about that.
We focus on some low-hanging fruit. It's kind of how we start. But you mentioned the spreadsheet. That's just all about being disciplined and having proper communication between myself and who I'm working with and laying out a clear plan and expectation. And also being flexible and understanding. But you got to put it all out there in front of you. So have that with you, but also have that with your people. I mean, there's some things on there. We hired a new person. We had to lay out some expectations for that new person. And one thing I will do with the owner of the business is also bridge a knowledge gap between the owner and the accounting department, because most owners don't understand what it takes to do some of this accounting stuff. I mean, Brad will tell you, you bring somebody in when you've had somebody leave and you bring somebody in and they're the only person in the department, that is a just train wreck waiting to happen, because who's going to train them, right? So I can do that. Not only train them, but more so put the expectations out there. You know, these are the priorities that you need to do. Things like owner statement day is on the 10th. Well, what do we need to do on the 7th, 8th, and 9th? Okay, those kind of things I will lead your people to do. There's a few kind of initial things that I've put in that I think are beneficial. One is a cash flow report, very simple things, but they are developmental for the accounting department that you have, but also it gets into the communication to the owner. Like, you should know where your money's going. Looking at your bank account is not how you judge the health of your business. It is not. So we need to work on, you know, financial statement prep, but weekly, really, cash flow is, you know, cash is king. Let's not kid ourselves. This is not a asset intensive business. You need to understand where your cash is going. So then the virtual assistant thing I'll touch on as well, because this is an important point. Anybody can go hire Planet Synergy. Anybody can go hire a virtual assistant. I'm a huge fan from a cost perspective and a scalability perspective. I mean, you're not gonna do any better. What I can do though, on top of that, is I take the implementation off of your plate. So if you have an accounting person and you want to, you know, offload some work to them, how are you gonna do that? Well, you need to spend some time. You need to write some processes. You can't just be like, hey, do this for me. So what I do is I write the process for you. I engage with a virtual company and I monitor that process until it's ready to hand off to your people.
That's perfect. So talk through a couple of those that you did with us just for fun. I mean, the actual details of them.
Yeah. So the low hanging fruit that I was talking about, you know, we did scanning of checks, entering receipts and doing bank deposits in that folio and paying bills. So scanning all the invoices, entering all the invoices. Obviously, there's pieces of that that still need done by somebody in your office. You need to actually make the bank deposits in the bank. You need to write the checks, get the checks signed, so on and so forth. Don't underestimate how much time and effort is involved with entering all that stuff. It is huge. And you could say, oh, well, it's not a big deal. I can do it. Yeah. When there's hundreds of them, it takes a lot of time. And your people will make more mistakes than the virtual people. I promise you. They're not perfect, but their mistake rate is way lower than yours because that's all they do all day long. You know, just think about it. What if you did one thing all day long? You'd be really good at it. Well, your people are jumping from task to task to task, and you are paying them more than you're paying a virtual person. You should expect more. So get the little stuff off of their plate so they can keep doing more value-added stuff. When you're trying to grow your business, there's always going to be something.
So talk more about the initial assessment, because I think we touched on it briefly, but I really want you to go deep on that with us. You came in and looked at us, you kind of looked at our whole procedures, looked at our cash, you looked at everything. So let's say you're going to go to a company in Idaho and they need an initial assessment. I mean, I assume you have checklists and stuff you're looking for and you kind of have guidelines. I mean, talk us through that, because that's going to be one of the first things people want to know about is like, okay, Philip, I'm going to call you, but then what? What happens from there?
So it's a series of interviews, really one or two, depending on, you know, how much clarity you have about yourself. But when it comes to digging into the financials, that's pretty simple. And, you know, I'll look myself, but I start out with questions about your numbers to you. Like, can you answer me what your annual revenue is, what your profit margin is, how many doors you manage, what's your revenue per door? A lot of people don't even know. Some people don't even know what revenue means, right? I'm not trying to poke fun at everybody, but people say, well, gross or net? I just say revenue, because you should know what those terms mean. You're a business owner. You should know what net profit means. You should know what cash flow means. So I might have to educate you on some of those things. But fast forwarding to kind of explain a little bit more, I follow the book Traction, EOS, and I take a lot of what I do, a lot of the organization of what I do, the structure, I should say, from EOS. And the reason I do that is because it works, and I've worked in it for the last 3+ years. At my last company, I worked with it. And I started the CFO mission consulting, and I kept going back to some of those things kind of accidentally. And I realized that I need structure to what I do as a consultant. So I got certified as an implementer for EOS. So I've got the full training, all those tools, and I use them. So what we do is we start with your vision. And we walk through that. You know, what is your 10-year plan? And there's a lot to that, but it's really just painting a picture. You know, what is it going to look like? Like, literally, what's it going to look like? Like, how many offices are you going to have? How many employees are you going to have? What type of business are you running? Property management? Maintenance? Sales, all those things, you know. So how many departments do you need? How many virtual people do you need? How many maintenance staff do you need? Then we work back. We say, okay, 3 years out. If I want to get there in 10 years, in 3 years, where do I need to be? You do the same thing. You paint that picture. And it's very, I would say, high level. This doesn't take days to do. It takes hours. Okay. Then we go to 1 year, and that's where we really get into the details. So at 1 year, you're saying, okay, literally, these are the numbers I need to hit. This is what my revenue is going to be at year one. This is what my profit's going to be. These are the projects I need to do. These are the actual positions I need to hire. And then we work back into 90-day increments, and we literally get into the project level detail. So it might be, I'm going to implement, or I'm going to hire a marketing person. BDM. I might not have a job description written. We're getting to that level. Okay, this 90 days, I'm writing this job description. I'm posting this job. So it's far more than accounting, right? This is where the strategery comes in. This is where, you know, what I love doing comes in. There's going to be pieces of that that are related to data. Absolutely. Because you're going to lack data. But we will have addressed that through this onboarding process where your issues are. You're going to have people issues. You're going to have data issues. You're going to have vision/planning issues. And we're going to work through all of them.
Yeah, we did quite a few things with you. And I don't know if this is going to be something that you standardize in your service model, but you know, such things as helping us hire employees. You helped us with the compensation model. You even helped us do one or two interviews with folks that we had narrowed down to the bottom of the funnel, and you kind of helped us steer us into making a hire. And you also have steered us into working with what we have. So that's been really thankful for us. And you broke it down into weekly, monthly, and quarterly annual reviews that we're going to be doing. So maybe talk through somebody. So they get the initial assessment, they get a plan from you. Then are you spending what, a couple hours a week with them, a couple hours a month with them? Kind of talk through somebody what they would expect, what your level of touch would be. And I know you have email and text messages, stuff like that, but
yeah.
Let's talk through some of that so they understand how much they're going to be interacting with you.
Good question. And this is where when I talk to potential clients, we can go down two different routes depending on how involved they want me to be. So first I'll start with kind of the higher level, which is less costly to a client. But it is more strategic. It is, we're going to do all those things I just described from the planning 10-year, 3-year, 1-year, back to 90 days. But we're going to meet very structured every 2 weeks to go over your progress on these things. Some of that will be a financial review. We'll review your financials once a month. And some of it will be, okay, where are you on your 90-day goals? You know, checking in, where do you need help? Along that path, I'm going to be holding you accountable for what you're supposed to be doing personally, helping you hold your people accountable, but also really giving you the feedback and establishing the cadence or the pace at which you can realistically grow. You're going to find out rather quickly if you've set yourself up for failure and if your expectations aren't realistic. And what I mean by that is you're going to, you know, since I'm helping you in this process, I'm also being really realistic with you and honest. That's part of, I'm not emotionally attached to what you're doing. I'm going to tell you how it is, right? And I'm going to be like, Brad, change your expectations because you just hired this accountant, right? They don't know all these things yet. They can't realistically do this in 1 month. So, you know, we're going to learn those kind of things and that can apply to whatever your projects are. You know, this is an iterative process and it's a long-term commitment. This is intended to be a long-term relationship. So take that a step further. How much do you want me to help? Okay. So Brad, my relationship with you is more of a day-to-day. We're more hands-on. I'm communicating with the accounting department on a regular basis. I'm training them, I'm teaching them, I'm implementing new processes, I'm holding them accountable. I'm communicating with Brad throughout that process as well to make sure that he knows. He's boots on the ground and I'm saying, Brad, this is where I'm guiding your people, but I need you sending them this message in the office every day. Okay, these are your top priorities because Phil said so and I'm backing up Phil because Phil knows the financial stuff and what you should be doing. At the same time, Brad's got that access to me where if he has an employee issue or if he has an idea, he can call me. Now it's not like, you know, he's calling me every day. You know, we do have structure to that. You know, we set up meetings and whatnot. We have our regular meetings every month at a minimum. But we have structure to that as well. We've got our list of projects, dates to be completed, and it's on track, off track. If it's off track, what do we need to do? Why is it off track? You know, do I need to kick it into gear? Does one of his employees need to kick it into gear? And so on and so forth. And, you know, and the last aspect of that is EOS. And whether or not you feel like you want to implement EOS officially or completely, you're going to get aspects of it because that's just how I work. But that's kind of another thing that's done on a very structured basis that involves meetings every quarter, face-to-face meetings.
Yeah, all of that we'll get into as we get going in further, because you and I have been working together for 4 or 5 months now, and I'm excited to have you what we're doing. I mean, so really, people are getting I'm trying to give them a simple look at what has happened. So we found ourselves in a bad way. We knew we needed a virtual CFO. We engaged with you. You came in, you did some initial cleanup, you started building some processes, you helped with some hires, and now we're doing ongoing consulting on what our numbers are looking like. And you're working with several parties in my office, our CPA, the Badger firm, and you're also working with our in-house accounting team, the accounting coordinator. So all that's being done on a regular basis. So I can't say I've seen so much improvement that I can quantify it, because we're still in a 4 or 5 month phase. I would say after a year, we're going to really be able to look back and say, wow, look what we did in the last 6 months or 9 months or 12 months, because that's where you're going to have to start. You'll have metrics to show from QuickBooks and AppFolio and wherever else. So before we get into kind of how we can engage with you, or somebody out there listening said, well, I want to talk to Phil too, I'm going to throw you a curveball right now. Let's see how you handle this. Talk us through potentially what we did and what we have done. So it's not really a curveball, but talk us through the NARPM accounting standard implementation, because what we're going to see in the next 30, 60, 90 days is NARPM will be rolling this out, the NARPM accounting standard, and then people out there are going to be like, I don't know what I'm doing. Somebody needs to come in and do this for me. So this is like a softball for you, Phil, because I think you can come in and help people with this, but you're going to be seeing a lot of this come up to you as far as, can you help me implement the NARPM accounting standard? And Phil's question will be, yes, you can.
Yes.
Yes, you can. Exactly. That's going to be your answer to that question. So talk us through some of that.
I was not really involved in the development of this, but I am very excited about it, because the extent to which you can compare yourself to another company that does the same thing that you do is just invaluable. I mean, I've seen data. I've seen some of the data that was gathered. It gives you a good perspective. All companies are different. Yes, I agree to that. But you're really not that different. So you need to be able to benchmark yourself. If you are just stuck in your business looking at your numbers, you can only compare yourself to yourself. And so I think, you know, the measurement aspect of it is just going to be so valuable. So the question is, how many people are going to get on it and actually take advantage of it? I don't know. Honestly, I don't know, but I definitely want to encourage people to do it. I can help people do it, not only help get you on it, but help tell you, what are you going to do with these numbers after you get them? Okay. One of the ideas behind this is to be able to systematically be instructed on how to get certain ratios that are going to tell you things about your company. So in Traction, we talk about EOS, we talk about having a pulse on your business. The reason pulse is like, I want to know at any given time, how's my business doing? If I was sitting on a beach sipping a drink while everybody else was back home running my company, and they could give me 10 numbers, would those 10 numbers tell me if my company is doing well or not this week? You know, that's the level of data you want to get to. So implementing the standard chart of accounts is going to help you build that foundation. And I'm telling you, you should do it. There's no doubt that you should do it. If you don't do it and you still want to get that data, you are going to have to work a lot harder than everybody else to do it, because you're going to have to figure out how to do it yourself. So if you want me to come in and tell you how to do it and figure it out, I would say implement the chart of accounts first, because it's going to be much easier for me to answer that question for you.
Yeah, so a lot of people are going to ask you, can you just come in and do it for them? So that would be something that you should answer, is, hey man, can just come in and do this for me. Implement it. Tell me what to do. We'll do it. We need your help. Go.
Yes, absolutely. I can do it. Very simple. That's all I have.
Good answer. Cause we've actually, I got you a sneak peek version of it, and we put it already into effect the 1st of January for this year. So we're recording this episode the end of January, 2019. We've been rolling with this new chart of accounts for NARPM for about a month. It's still, you know, tell me some updates on what you've done with us to kind of get us to that point. Give me some background.
Sure. Well, we ended up starting from scratch on a new system just because there were so many issues with the prior system that it just made sense to start anew. And I think most companies are going to do that, and that's okay. I mean, you can go back and restate your 2018 or 2017 numbers if you want to. I would imagine that's going to be fairly costly. Again, if you want to do that, can absolutely do that for you, but we would talk through that, you know, what type of value you're going to get from that. But really, looking forward, okay, 2019, the idea is that you're going to have several companies on this same platform that are going to be able to share data. So we can talk all about your past. Not that important, honestly. It's just not going to be your top priority. I would say get on the standard, do it now. You know, that if you end up with mid-year conversion, that's going to be very difficult. So you should be doing it now to the extent that you can. Restate January, February, whatever you need to do. Spend the money to do that. Don't wait till 2020. You're going to miss the boat, right? You can do it in 2020, but you're already late to the game. So, you know, this is about building a solid foundation for your company. You know, you need to get the data and you need to get it yesterday, really.
Great answer. Yeah, I really like that. So let's say I'm out there and I'm already engaged with you. So you don't have to give me the sales pitch, but let's say you want to talk to somebody who wants to engage with your services. They're going to call you up and talk them through how that's going to work, what it's going to cost, what it's going to entail. Just kind of give our audience kind of like the one over of cost and what it does and all that good stuff. And then at the end of that, we can talk how do they get in touch with you, because this is really what they want to know. They've heard you. They might like you at this point. So talk them through how they get in touch with you and how it works.
Happy to. So I spoke a little bit about kind of the high level approach to what I do. You can get me on your payroll, so to speak, as your strategic partner, anywhere from $500 to $750 a month on that lower end type thing. If you want me to be highly involved, day-to-day, true CFO type, it's going to be probably double that. And it's going to be depending on the size of your company as well, because, you know, more company, more transactions, you know, no money, no problems type of attitude there. But, and then EOS as well is kind of a separate thing that is charged out by the session. And that depends on travel and things like that. But we could talk through that. And I'm also doing EOS consulting. So if you want to implement it by yourself, I can consult with you back into that, you know, $500 to $750 range, depending on how involved you want me to get. There's some one-off work that I'll do too, depending on your needs and wants. You know, if you want to move fast and you need some help, I'll generally quote jobs to help clean you up. If you're doing EOS and you want an assessment of, say, how your level 10 meeting is going, if you're on EOS, you know what that means. I can come in and oversee your meeting virtually and do that. What I want to talk about with everybody is just putting that cost in perspective, because people get scared. I understand. You're like, oh my gosh, that's a huge cost. I can't afford that. Well, think about where you are now and think about where you're going to be in 12 months. And think about what you're going to do differently today to get you where you want to be in 12 months. What could you spend your money on? Right? I mentioned the virtual assistant, right? You might pay $15,000 to $20,000 a year for a virtual assistant. That's one comparison about where you're going to put your money. Everybody probably needs one to help with some lower level stuff. Another thing you could look at to compare me to is your accounting department. Let's say you're paying a bookkeeper $40,000 a year. Okay. You know what they're doing for you. You should know what they're doing for you at $40,000. Maybe you want a $60,000 a year bookkeeper and you're like, if I just pay $20,000 more, I'll get a lot more out of that person. And I would say that, go back to what we talked about initially, was about like what a CFO costs, $150,000, $200,000 a year, right? That $20,000 gap you're going to pay for it, and that educated person that's 30 years old that has a lot of ambition. I was that guy a long time ago, right? You're not going to get that, right? You just can't get it. You can't get that experience level of the entire property management business and the high level strategic CFO. It's just not there. I mean, it's really kind of, these things are easy for me to understand the value aspect of it. But if you don't take a step back and strategically look at your company, you're just going to float around in the weeds and
that
forever.
That was a part of what we learned in that strategic planning session with Scott Fritz is we needed a virtual CFO. He recommended several and neither of them had any sort of property management experience. So we just never pulled the trigger on that. And if I recall, they were way more expensive than you. They just had some, you know, high level Fortune 500 company resumes that were impressive. But at the end of the day, I felt, you know, in just an hour consultation one time, I felt I was training them on the property management business versus you training me. So that was a frustration point of, you know, we just never signed up with one until we discovered you and met with you and really said, hey, we have a need and you're it. So this is perfect timing. So tell us how we can get in touch with you. So people might be interested at this point. I'm betting they're interested. What's the easiest way to get in touch with you?
Email, really. My email is philip@thecfomission.com, 1L and Philip. I would encourage people to reach out to Brad, you know, to see what his experience has been like. If you need more references with some of my other clients, I'm happy to do that for you. The value is there. And I think it's a long-term play. There's no quick fixes here. You know, that's not how I operate. I'm a long-term thinker and that's what strategy is. And, you know, one other thing that I'll mention is that whatever else you're thinking about doing or spending money on in your business, call me and talk through it with me. You know, we don't need to engage in a, you know, an official capacity, but talk through it with me. I talked to a lady a few months ago about an acquisition. We talked for an hour, hour and a half, and I gave her a lot of insight about what I had been through in valuing a company and making an offer and how it all works. And I'm happy to do that for you to show you, you know, show you a little bit more about me. But I mean, ultimately, you're going to be spending money on certain things. I've done a lot of projects in property management. I've wasted a lot of money on things because I didn't realize what it was going to take to do it. You know, that's another thing that you're going to get from me. You know, if you look at me as a cost, then it's really not the right approach, you know, because I'm going to save you way more money than you're spending with me, but you have to be committed. And, you know, I want to work with people that are committed because I'm committed to you.
That makes a lot of sense. I really appreciate that answer. So a couple of other things, you know, they can go visit you at thecfomission.com. And when they reach out to you, at what point, you know, are you able to, you know, book an appointment or is it a 1 hour initial session? How's that work?
Yeah, you can just tell me, we do a 1 hour phone call. It can last anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour, hour plus. But, you know, what I would encourage people to do is email me, tell me some times that you have in the coming days or week. Mention Brad in the email. If you mention Brad, what we're doing is we're going to give you the consultation for the initial assessment for free. So there's value there. Typically, that's the cost of 1 month anyway up front before we engage in the month. It's a monthly retainer. But the other thing is, if you're willing to commit to 12 months with me, which is ultimately what I want and what you should be willing to do, you get a free month there as well.
I think that's pretty wise because you have to commit to this longer term. And this is not just, hey, come in, here's a couple hundred bucks, look at me and fix me. You know, it's a longer term venture and people got to understand the alternative is to go hire somebody like you at a strategic level for double, triple, quadruple what you would cost on a monthly basis. I'm happy to pay the retainer with you. I'm happy to have you look at us on a daily basis and train up our staff. It's going to pay dividends huge for what we're doing. And I think that's a very generous discount code you've offered for the listeners is on the BRAD discount. They call you up, email you up, and you're going to give them a free consultation. That's a big deal because, you know, that could be, you might get a 10-minute teaser for some of these other virtual CFOs, but, you know, for you to dedicate the amount of time you want to that, that's impressive. And I appreciate that. And I think the listeners will appreciate that too. So this has been a fantastic episode, Phil. I really appreciate you coming on. You are our guy. You are our virtual CFO with RentWorks, and I appreciate everything you're doing with us. Any parting words for the listeners?
Commit to having a great year. And it's January, and January is almost over. So you've got goals. If you don't have goals, you should set them, but you need to commit to your business. And, you know, that's what I'm here to help you do.
Appreciate it. I think people need to reach out to you for not only the consultation, but if they have questions about the implementation side on the new NARPM accounting standard, this guy is it, because he can come in and help you put you on that NARPM standard. So appreciate the time, Phil. And thanks everybody for listening, and take care.
Thanks, Brad.
Choose Seacoast Commerce Bank as your property management bank of choice. Seacoast Commerce Bank specializes in trust accounts and business banking for property managers. One of their best features is a cash analysis program where they can assist in paying your property management related invoices. Contact Allison at 619-988-6708 to learn more. And be sure to listen to the Property Management Mastermind Podcast, episode number 26, about Seacoast Commerce Bank.
Are you tired of chasing tenants to comply with having renter's insurance? Insurance Management Group can solve this problem with a master tenant's insurance policy. Keep tenants in compliance with your lease agreement and help protect all parties involved. A master tenant's insurance policy can also add an additional revenue stream to your business. Contact Derek Scott at 918-728-8992 or visit imgadvisors.com. To learn more, listen to the Property Management Mastermind Show podcast, episode number 36.
This has been a podcast episode by PropertyManagementProductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast, leave us feedback, and come back for our next episode.